Well, that went fast. Think we ought to run those plates back by again. Grace of God, summertime, people gone, but God's made Landmark a giving church, and a lot of folks, even if they're gone, they'll catch up with it later. Some send it in, some that are having to listen to us online. We thank God for their faithfulness when it comes to giving so we can pay the bills. Amen. I mentioned last week that we're going to get around. We've got some start on the picture museum, landmark museum, whatever we're going to call it finally. Brother Parsons has got a gauge up there, and it's got a little start on it, not very big. But we all need to just get into that. We got so much history here that needs to be remembered. So many people that contributed so much in so many ways, many of them already in heaven. And yet we got and Brother Parsons emphasizes this a lot, and I'm glad he does. We got a new generation coming on. We got young people that have got to be reached. And one of the things that's killing our country is they've distorted our history, let us lose our foundation of who we are, where we came from, and what we're about. And that's going to kill us as a nation. It'll kill a church also. A church can just grow old and die if they don't have some new life coming on. And that's one of the hardest challenges we've got today is our church right here. Is even biologically, our babies that come on and our kids that come on, we got to fight the devil to keep them after they get on up a little bit and they're exposed to all the trash that's around today and perversion that's around. Biggest challenge we face is actually reaching and keeping our own. Brother Parsons is putting a big emphasis on that, and I praise the Lord for it. And let's hold up his hands every way we can and helping him do that sort of thing. It's not a sin to speak up and brag on what God has given us here at the church. He's given us a doctrinally sound, right Bible church. We ought to be proud of it. Don't sneak it in. Just be up out bold with it. And when it comes to our Christian school, speak up for it big. I remember one time I was driving over to a meeting in Tampa, and I don't know Tampa as good as I do Haines City, of course, and so I was trying not to make a wrong turn finding a church where the meeting was going on. And I was in their neighborhood. I whipped into a service station. Used to could do this. Most times now it's different, but used to could come into a service station and get directions. Anybody ever remember doing that? So I whipped in there, and back then, you show you how long ago it was, a gas attendant came out. That is a while ago. But he did. And I told him who I was and the church I was looking for, and he said, "Oh, you're close. It's just a few blocks this way." And he said, "Good church." And he said, "It's got the best Christian school around." I thought, praise God. And I told him, I said, "I'm glad to hear somebody speak up like that." He gave a great testimony. That's where we ought to be. Do you know there's folks that need and would like to have but don't know what we have? There's a lot of them like that. We need to be willing to share it. Amen. That's got nothing to do with Revelation. Well, it has. It's got everything to do with the mess Book of Revelation is finally bringing to a conclusion. Chapter 17, we have started it. No, we're not going to finish it today. There's so much to say about these two chapters, 17 and 18. So much current. Folks, the Bible is not out of date. It's way beyond this old world's knowledge. It's more in date than any book you'll ever pick up, any information you'll ever get. And so what we have, and especially you and I, are blessed to be living closer to the fulfillment of everything in the book than any other generation's ever lived. So we certainly can see the fulfillment, see it developing, see it building, see it coming to a conclusion. And I wish, and I do see some few signs of some of the world waking up, because even the lost man that he doesn't know Christ as Savior, he's never been born again, he sees the dead end street that society is heading for. He sees with common sense that it can't keep on without crashing. And so then he thinks, what is the answer? And you and I have the answer, and the book of Revelation certainly details the answer as we go through it. I keep having to do this every week, but you got to keep things in your mind straight about going through the book of Revelation. We are now presently not in these times, but we see these times coming. We are still living right at the end of chapter 3 as we rightly divide the book of Revelation. Right at the end of chapter 3, you find a church age that has gone so liberal till they've lost the truth, they've lost the blood-bought gospel of Christ. They're neither hot nor cold, God says, of the Laodicean church. And he said he'll spew them out of his mouth. He gets sick on his stomach about it. I get sick myself as just his preacher. Looking at some of the stuff I see coming today and on us today. But we're right there at that last days of the New Testament church that Jesus loved and died for. And yet, all we're waiting on is for the Lord to evacuate his people, call us up, what we call the rapture. And that could take place just any time. And then the rapid fulfillment of the rest of the book of Revelation will move very fast. We are waiting, and there's a verse over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, that tells us that we're going to be saved from the wrath to come. God's wrath is talking about. And it separates us from God's wrath falling on the people that'll be left behind and will become part of the Antichrist kingdom. We ask you to identify the city that's being judged here in chapter 17 and 18. And we gave you some clues about it. But let's remember what the city represents. It represents the head, so to speak, of the Antichrist kingdom. This city today has a religious group in it. That group has a seat that's recognized worldwide. The Antichrist will take a seat that's recognized worldwide. We've already discussed, come through here, found out he's going to be worshipped. So that speaks of religion. He's going to be worshipped. He's going to have a seat. He's going to have a prophet. Bible calls him in Revelation 13 the false prophet. The false prophet is going to point to the Antichrist, to the beast, and say, worship him. That beast is going to, as he comes to power, probably there's going to be an assassination attempt on him. He's going to be wounded. He's going to be wounded in one arm and have one eye put out. And instead of, that won't take him out of the picture, that'll make him more popular. And the whole world will worship because they'll say it was a deadly wound, he should have died, or he was dead and he came back, and that's going to make him the ruler that the false prophet points to and says he is the God to worship. And he's going to give a mark. It's the number of his name, 666. And boy, we are moving into times now that show us how easy people can be mandated to take a mark. Yeah, it'll include the latest vaccination. It may not be for one disease. It may be from all, like this COVID thing. Every time we see a little light at the end of the tunnel, they find a new strand. They're not going to run out of strands. I hate to disappoint you, but these rules that we're fighting under and all the trouble, they're not going to give that up because that's control. That's control. We have gone pure silly over what the old folks would have considered at the most a bad seasonal flu. That's right. And if you'll check the stats, many times flu killed a lot more people than what they call COVID today. I'm sorry, but they've mislabeled this thing to no end. I saw a stat last week showing that of all the deaths, if they would by age, older folks, maybe you and I, we might be more vulnerable, but of all the stats of the deaths, they were all already past in age, already past 70, So that, say, yeah, COVID will kill somebody past 70. So will a lot of things. A lot of things we used to throw off, we don't throw off anymore. A bad cold's worse now. A lot of things are. And those stats reflect that if you look at it. Psalms 90 tells us that God gives us 70. That's 70. 70. But it says in Psalms 90 that if by strength we go on up to 80, add some more, then those additional years added will still be troublesome, painful. Most of us could say, yay, that's me. I was a little stronger at 70 than I am 80. I was a little stronger at 80 than I am 85. In fact, next month, 86. That's okay. That's God's plan. I'm not fussing about it. I'm trusting Him all the way. I inquired about a friend this week, and they said he's in a certain nursing home, and he's 95. And I remembered way back when we were very young. The truth of the matter is, he's still, they say, talking pretty clear. I haven't got in to see him yet. But the whole thing is, you expect folks to come nearer to death as they get closer to the higher years. And that's what the stats show. So it don't matter what label you put on it, death was coming pretty quick anyhow. I don't care whether you like that or not. That's truth, folks. That's reality. But if they can harness that thing and make control out of it and power out of it and order you around and command you to do this and that and the other, then that's... Did you hear the politician years ago, back when Barack Obama was in, his right-hand man said, never let a crisis go to waste. You know what he meant by that? Use it for power. Use it to take over. And that's what they've done. All right, I get back to the book here. But what we got being fulfilled is this Antichrist kingdom that God is beginning to pour His wrath out on. Now, you and I, reading the newspaper, seeing the news, seeing what's going on, we know the Antichrist spirit has been around for a long time, but we are seeing it come together like we have never seen it before. It's all funneling in to the point that finally the man himself will show up. And by the time he takes over, he's going to have a short time, a short kingdom. We know the time is given here in the book of Revelation. It's 1260 days. It's 3.5 years. And he will not come to power totally right after the rapture. It will take him almost, him and the false prophet, but almost 3.5 years for him to finally be worshiped and the mark to be mandated. We've learned some new words, haven't we? Mandated. We're hearing that all the time. Mandated on the airplane. Mandated here. Mandated there. Well, the mark's going to be mandated. It's going to be get the mark or get your head chopped off during the time the Antichrist takes over. And some of you younger folks listening to me right now, if you're not saved, you're going to be here. You're going to be in this thing. You're going to face exactly what this preacher is talking about. I sure hope you're saved. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ. When the trumpet sounds, I hope you're going to evacuate with us. But if not, you're going to face what all this book is talking about right here. And these things, if maybe some of you, I hope you're saved, but if you're listening out in radio land and you're not, you'll remember the time the preacher told you what the book said would happen, and now you know it is happening. He asks you to identify the city. Here in chapter 16, we find out the seven angels before the Lord with seven last plagues. God's wrath falling on the Antichrist kingdom. That kingdom is identified with, actually personified or led by a city that is described here. I asked you to figure it out, and surely nobody missed it. If I were giving you a grade, surely nobody would miss this. The city is so identified. Let me ask you, if I use the word, you went to school and paid any attention to history at all, And you think about world empires. What is the first one that you would think about, a world empire? It'd be Rome, wouldn't it? Now, there were others. There was Persians, and then, of course, the Greeks and Rome. And, of course, in the book of Daniel, they were all predicted ahead of time. And the Roman Empire is most famous for being worldwide. Now, they speak of England having a worldwide kingdom. It never did. It was, the sun never went down on their colonies and stuff, but it wasn't compared to Rome. You ever hear the statement, all roads lead to Rome, and all the stuff we read about in literature? Rome was the city. City identified in literature. Not identified any better than we find it identified right here in the Bible. We ask you to look at her location. She sets on many waters. The waters are described as people and multitudes of population, of course. She sets on many waters. We ask you to identify her colors. You found those in chapter 17 and verse 4, purple, scarlet color, stones of precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand. Now, there's so many identifying marks right here, but the chapter actually tells you itself, identifies these things. And her actions, finally, we ask you to look at verse 6. Now, again, I'm going to peck around a little bit rather than worrying so much. I am going to cover every verse, but take note of some of this. Let's start again, her location, seven hills, verse 9. City sets on seven hills. Literature is famous for the city that sets on seven hills. It says in verse 9, here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman setteth. Now, the character in this story is a woman that setteth on a scarlet colored beast, and is full of names of blasphemy, it says in verse 3. Then we looked at her colors down in verse 4, purple, scarlet color, decked with gold, silver, precious stones. And here's a key, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now I'm going to ask you to flip right over to about verse 18, and we'll come back to all this. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. If there was no other verse in the whole chapter that identified the city, that one would do it. If you study history, what city is identified with reigning over all the kings of the earth? Well, pagan Rome claimed to be the world kingdom. That meant that Rome ruled over all other kings of other nations. They were subversive to Rome. And history tells you that's exactly what it was. Now, those that don't like the book of Revelation and cut it out of their Bible or pervert it or say nobody can understand it, this is the chapters they hate so bad, because it identifies what the head of the Antichrist religion is going to be. He is going to unite all the religions of the world. And that's actions we hear about in the news right now. Meetings. Islam is one of the largest religions. It is a religion. It's certainly not Christianity, but it is a religion. Hinduism is a religion. There's various big religions with masses of thousands of people deceived and involved. And why is that? Let me tell you why it is, folks. I diverse here just a little bit. In the heart of man, he knows there's a God. And he's always trying to find his way to that God, but he don't know how. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. John 14:6. Others are trying to get to God, and by the way, the Islam word, Muslim word for God is Allah. But Allah is a different God than the Christian God. So don't be confused with that junk. They're trying to confuse us today. Yeah, in the Arabic, the word Allah means God. But which God, you got to ask. Pagans all had gods. But which God? Who is the true God? Who is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who can get to the real God outside of Jesus? Nobody. But what they're trying to do today is put the one world religion together. Now, when the Antichrist shows up with his false prophet is going to be the head of united religion, ecumenical conglomeration of all religions are going to point to the Antichrist as being the man, being the one to worship. And the Bible says the whole world is going to worship him. Now, again, that's good evidence that the Christians won't be here. Because I don't believe if you go to the 6:30 news tonight and they point to a man and tell all of us Christians to worship, I don't believe all us Christians would. But if we're gone, and great fear has hit the earth, a great disappearance of people, they're going to be hunting an answer and they're going to fall for a substitute. And they're going to be deceived. And the Antichrist is going to get that worship. And then it's going to be mandated. You can't function in society. We live in what they call now the canceled culture. You've been paying attention to that? Everybody getting canceled out? Oh, it's crazy. This W-H-O who? No, that's not it. W-O-K-E, woke. W-O-K-E, woke. If that comes from the word awake, now they awoke. When they really wake up, they're going to be surprised. Amen. Because it's pure of the devil is what's going on right now, this so-called woke culture. And they're counseling out people like me and others that have a different opinion. No longer. That's why the President Trump was kicked off of the cyberspace. They didn't want the truth no more. And right now, from the White House, they're ordering social media like Facebook to not put any diverse opinion on there different than what is the status quo right now with the woke, W-O-K-E, crowd. It's crazy. I don't know how to get off on it much. Brother Parsons has said some things about it, and we both would be canceled out if they could. Could, and don't kid yourself, that will come if we stay here long enough. But if you saw President Biden's news conference this week, any of it, that was a joke. It was terrible. I do feel sorry for him because I may be getting closer to some of those conditions myself, but he's got it bad. He's hurt bad. If you saw it, nobody had to tell you. The man is standing up there fumbling and mumbling and going from one thought to another and scrambling them up. Amen. The man has got a old age problems like some of us might have, but he's got it bad. The scary part, folks, is he's supposed to be our leader and all of our enemies realize we're in an unguarded condition right now. We're in a dangerous position as a nation right now. But the whole plan is bringing this universal kingdom in. Now, this city is easily identified from the description here, Rome. I stopped on the colors here. The scarlet, the purple. Watch a funeral, watch a wedding that takes place in the Vatican in Rome, and you'll see all these colors on display. What you may not notice closely is this golden cup in her hand, verse 4, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, we know the word fornication has the sexual perversion thing in it, and adultery and all the whole pack. And God calls this mixing here of religion, so-called, to try to control and what we would call worse than politics today, government control. God calls it fornication. It's an illegal, illicit relationship that should not take place. So in the name of religion, the Antichrist kingdom will come to the front as well, because he is going to be worshipped. Now, the identifying this religion with its colors, pageantry, and all that you see, this cup's pretty important. The picture, the whole big picture here of this woman riding the scarlet colored beast is an old mythical picture of a Europa. Europa is a picture you can find. It is a woman riding on a beast like a big bull. You can see it various places. The beast was Zeus. That was the pagan god, Z-E-U-S, I believe it is, Zeus. And that was the beast. The woman riding on it was named Europa. Now, that's where the word Europe comes from. That's her name, Europa. Europe. And that's where, of course, Rome is located. That's part of Europe. Now, this woman riding the beast has all the colors and a golden cup in her hand. Now, I know I'm on radio, and I'll probably catch it over what I'm fixing to say, but just check it out, what I'm fixing to say. If it's not true, I'll apologize. I've never yet had to apologize for what the Bible said, but because if it's truth, it's truth. The truth is, in 1825, Pope Leo XII, the same one that confined the Jews at that time. By the way, Hitler was not the first one to put an armband on the Jews. The Pope did back then. 1825, he struck a medal with this saying. The picture was a woman that he struck with a cup. A woman with a cup. On the other side of the cup, in Latin, here's what it said. And check this out, you folks that are getting mad about it. Check it out. This cup, this metal cup, had his image on one side. And it had a woman with a cup on the other side. And in Latin, here's what it said. I'm not much on Latin, but it said, sedat super universalum. In English, it said the whole world is her seat. Does that hit the Bible right head on? Yes, it does. The woman was picturing the city of Rome, the old mysterious religion of Babylon, all the way up, tied in. And folks, if you want to read some detail on it, and I haven't read it in a long, long time, there's a book out many years ago called The Two Babylons. It's written by an author named Hyslop. I don't have it in my office now because half my stuff's down. We stored it down in the hotel somewhere. They got it down there. But you can get that book. You probably order it through the bookstore. It's not real easy reading, but it will authenticate what I'm saying. It's right there. The evidence is still in existence. So what I'm saying to you is all the identifying marks here in chapter 17, and maybe next week I'll be able to cover some more. I can stay in chapter 17 for a long time, and I may, because it's just packed full of stuff that we need to identify. 17 and 18 is going to be two chapters that causes the book of Revelation to be so hated and banned, and not in many perversions of the Bible because they fear it. And you and I can see it being fulfilled, know what it says. And if you want to know what's going to happen, so to speak, tomorrow, just keep reading the book of Revelation, because it's there. And it's part of the Bible. And truthfully, it's the key to the whole Bible, because it tells you how all that you read from Genesis on finally culminates and ends. And thank God it ends with Jesus Christ coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. We'll get on it again next week.